Hare Krishna. This is going to be short because we need to pack and get ready to go to the airport to go to Ukraine. Bhakta Shimon has two questions. I'll answer briefly. He asks, why did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur not accept a sannyas guru who was physically present? I don't have the biography, Bhaktivikas Maharaj's biography of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur here, and I'm sure that that gives answers to this question. However, I'll just say what I have heard and contemplated myself. First is that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't really think that there was someone in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line nearby, not distant, from who he could actually take sannyas. At that time, Gaudiya Vaishnavism was plagued with smartas, sahajas, other type of deviant groups, and people who may have posed as sannyasis but didn't really represent true Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyas. In other lines, there may have been sannyasis, such as another sampradayas, who were at least strict in terms of following the renounced order of life, but they may have not, or not may, but they did not actually represent the essence of Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyas, which is to meditate upon following in the footprints of the gopis and the service attitude of the gopis. Over and above that, directly, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur glorified the greatness of Gaurakishordas Babaji, his spiritual master, that even though physically not present, he was able to give sannyas. Because obviously, this is not an issue, that is not a one-way street, that I just take sannyas from a picture. The picture of a Mahabhagavat like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gaurakishordas Babaji, is not different from that picture. And therefore, it's not just a matter of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur taking sannyas, but Gaurakishordas Babaji also giving him sannyas. So it was direct glorification of Gaurakishordas Babaji. And it was also indirect proclamation of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's own spiritual standing, that he was qualified to approach his spiritual master through his picture and take sannyas initiation from him. And the last point that comes to mind is that it's also a direct glorification of the eternal relationship. It's a statement of the eternal relationship between guru and disciple, and especially of such a guru and disciple as in this case, that physical separation is not separation. Eternally, one is always together on the spiritual level. Srila Prabhupada said, I always feel that my spiritual master is by my side. So there's no separation on the transcendental platform, and when one is situated on the transcendental platform, then there wasn't any question of Bhakti, of Gaurakishordas Babaji not being present. He was present. Now, his other question is, when one offends a devotee and apologizes to that devotee, what should one do if that devotee's mind is still disturbed? If one can placate that devotee's mind without outwardly apologizing, is that a better course of action? No. One should always outwardly apologize to a devotee. One should always communicate in sweet words, words full of remorse, very humble. If one committed an offense or even thinks that he committed an offense, we should never neglect that. And we shouldn't try to replace the words with something else. One may do other things, such as offering a gift or offering dandavats and bowing down. That one should do in any case, but we should make it very clear in words that we apologize for our offense. And then he says, well, what happens if the devotee in question, who's been offended, if his mind is still disturbed? seems like there are at least three circumstances here. One is that we commit an offense and the devotee offended forgives us. The other one is that we commit an offense, the devotee forgives us, but his mind is still disturbed. That's what the question's about. And the last one is that the devotee is not only disturbed in mind, but he doesn't forgive us. In other words, he's so disturbed in his mind. And the second instance is similar to Jat Bharat and Maharaj Rahugana. After Maharaj Rahugana begged for forgiveness, Jat Bharat forgave him for being treated like a carrier. But Shukadeva Goswami says that his mind was still disturbed by Maharaj Rahugana's words, but gradually he pacified his own mind and was again firmly transcendentally situated. So in this case, no harm if the devotee forgives, even though there may be some aftershock reaction to the offense. If he forgives us, then Krishna will forgive us. On the other hand, if a devotee doesn't forgive us, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says all one can do is with great remorse sit in a solitary place and chant Hare Krishna until by the strength of the holy name, gradually one has burnt up the reaction to that offense. Of course, better than all of these different courses of action is to very, very carefully avoid committing any type of offense to Vaishnavas. That's it for today, and tomorrow hopefully we'll be able to report from Ukraine. Hare Krishna.